Sorry, let me do a little homework here. Well, if I was setting this up, I would sit here like this and look at the fire the whole time, but since we're streaming and you guys were invited in, I'll sit this way. So let me tell you a little bit about how we got here. This is a weird Sunday for me. It's been a really weird week for me. I was joking with somebody. It feels like everybody knows I'm dying except for me. I have had a lot of last meals. I've been told this is the last time you're going to pray. I'm like, what? It feels, and this is where it gets weird, right? It feels like I'm preaching my own funeral today. And it's backwards. We're doing the viewing this afternoon. But yeah, it's been a crazy week. Let me tell you a little bit about how we got here, just so nobody's confused. This really starts even farther back than this, but I'm going to start 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I started saving money for a trip that I'd heard about to raft the Grand Canyon. That just sounded like a trip of once-in-a-lifetime type trip. And so I started saving because it's really expensive. And I saved birthday gift money. I saved when I did a funeral. I saved that money. I just saved money for this trip. And I finally got enough money up to go on this trip. And they booked so far in advance that last January, so January 2021, I booked my trip for August of 2022. I was thrilled. I'm finally going to get to do this raft the Grand Canyon, 7-day rafting trip through, not the whole Grand Canyon, but the best parts of the Grand Canyon. And that, when I signed up for that, that put me on the email list of this group called Canyon Ministries. You were real close. Canyon Ministries. And they started sending me monthly update emails. And in November, after Thanksgiving even, I believe, I got an email from Canyon Ministries, and the prayer request at the bottom said, pray for us, we're hiring a full-time backpacking guide. I was like, what in the world? This is a real thing? And since I'm a wimp, I didn't do anything about it. Talked to my wife about it, talked to Pastor Keith about it, and they were both like, man, you'd be stupid not to apply for that. And I was like, well, I'm stupid, but I'll apply for it anyways. And so that started, I mean, this has been so quick, that was the end of November. And in December, I did 3 Zoom interviews with them, and I never even met them really through, except for through Zoom. They never even asked for any references. They're crazy. And before Christmas, they offered me a job, and we decided that we needed to see them and what they do before we agreed. So, January 3rd, I don't know. There was a deacon's meeting on Monday. Tuesday morning, we flew to Phoenix, rented a go-kart, and drove it to Flagstaff and met the people of Canyon Ministries. Wednesday they gave us a tour, and Wednesday night I told Stephanie, I don't think we're going to do this. Thursday they took me on a day hike, and I got about this far in and was like, how can I not do this? How can I not be a full-time backpacking guide in the Grand Canyon? And this is more than just a backpacking guide in the Grand Canyon. They want me to show evidence for the Bible being true from the canyon. And then I have the freedom to do whatever I want with the Bible, with the people I'm guiding with. So I can take all the lessons that I've used on backpacking trips in the past and try to build into people's lives that way. So, I mean, I get to do what I love, and I get to do more of what I love in a place that looks like that. That's how we got to where I am today. This isn't something I was looking for. I've had churches call, and had one in November call and ask me to consider applying to be their senior pastor. I'm like, no, I'm not interested in that. I love where I am. Things are going really well here. No. But then this thing came up, and, well. So, on Wednesday morning, I will start driving west. Hopefully, I'll have an apartment to go to. We're getting closer on that. That's a prayer request. And then I'll take Wilderness First Responders class, which is a 10-day class. And it covers everything. I mean, I'm excited. It'll be fun. But that's just to tell you where we are. I want to spend some time in God's Word today. So let's pray. Yeah, I'm not dead yet. This is not my last prayer. But let's pray and then look at God's Word. God, thanks for your love. Thank you that that we will get to be with you for eternity. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your patience. Thank you for your word. Help us to think about you today and to see how you see us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to do... This is dumb. I can say things like this. Oh, wait, I did before. We're going to do John chapter 17. The whole chapter. Is that right? Okay, good. They told me I can do whatever I want. So that means I'm turning around looking at the fire. So when I was setting this up, I wanted it to be kind of like I was on a backpacking trip. How many of you have slept in one of these tents before? Oh, man. This is one of my favorites of our tents. It's our oldest style tent. We've replaced it with a few other ones, but man, those are great. And I want to take us to my favorite place to stay in that tent. How many of you have slept in one of those tents in this place? Where is this? Okay, you can say it out loud. The Barn. That's what we call it. It's not the real name. The real name is Over Mountain Shelter. And yeah, everybody calls it The Barn. Why do we call it The Barn? There's a barn there. It used to be a shelter. You could sleep upstairs in the shelter, downstairs in the shelter, but now they've decided it's not safe, and they're tearing it apart, and the backpacking community is torn up over this. I don't know why I'm telling you, but this is the barn. There's a house right up here that Stephanie and I are going to retire in so that we can have that view all the time. It's listed for sale right now for $5 million. And I am not exaggerating at all. It is beautiful. But that view is incredible. This is one of my favorite places on earth. So I want us kind of to be there while we talk about what Jesus is doing here. Because Jesus was in a setting kind of like this when this is all going on here in John chapter 17. So in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. And we have the awesome opportunity to be able to see what Jesus prayed. That's really pretty cool. I mean, we've got different prayers written down from different times of history. Some people love the Puritan prayers and things like this. We have Jesus' prayer written here in John chapter 17. That's really cool. So please, if you have a Bible, join me there. We're going to read not the whole chapter because, well, we only have so much time. But we're going to look at what Jesus prayed for. So John chapter 17, and we're going to start in verses 1 through 5. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and that Jesus, in Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus starts off and he prays about the plan. Right? This is what he's here for. And what is the plan? To give eternal life to all whom you've given him. The plan for Jesus coming to earth was to give eternal life to all that would trust in him. That's what he starts off praying for here. And really, we make this way more complicated than it needs to be. Here, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Man, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's where eternal life is. You trusting Christ as taking the penalty for your sins, that is salvation, that is eternal life. If you've never done that, I'd love to talk to you about that. That's what Jesus starts off with. That's why he's there. It is the important thing. In fact, that's what's facing him. He's about to be crucified. Grace, love, all that he's showing us so that we can have eternal life. But that's not what I really want to talk about. I just can't skip over that because that is what it's all about. So if you've never trusted Christ, please talk to me afterwards. I can try to answer some of your questions. I'd love to pray with you. But you don't even need to do those things to trust Christ. You can just decide in your mind, in your heart, to love and trust Christ as your Savior. That's what salvation is. Jesus keeps praying, though, and he prays for his disciples. Now, if you want to argue about whether or not that's what this next section's about, that's fine. You can email my email. I'm not going to check it anymore after tomorrow. But go ahead and send all your arguments and let me know how you really feel. Why do I think Jesus is praying for his disciples? Because that's what he says in verse 12. He says, I've guarded them and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. I think the son of destruction he's talking about is Judas. That means the rest of the them that he's praying for, that he's guarded and he hasn't lost any of them, that would be the rest of the disciples. And in this section, there is a lot of really good stuff that a really good preacher would talk about for months. But we don't have time for that, and, well, it's me. So we're going to skip over all the stuff that he says to the disciples. Because what I really want to talk about, and this was huge for me in my life, and that's why I want to talk about it. I'm sure I've heard this preached before, but I didn't remember it. And I'm sure I read about it and had it taught to me. But you know, sometimes every once in a while you come on a passage and you're like, wow, I've discovered this for the first time. I've been going to church for, well, today makes 47 years. I probably heard this before, but when I heard it this time, it clicked. And this was really important for me. So that's why I want to talk about this today. Verse 20. Now, there are a lot of pronouns in this verse, so I want to talk about them because it's really kind of confusing. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So the first these, who are these? The disciples, right? He was just praying for them. He says, I don't ask for these only. And then when he talks about their word, he's still talking about the disciples. Okay? And what is their word? I hear some things, but I'm really hard of hearing. The fire's really loud. Yeah, the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were disciples. They wrote down what they'd seen. They're writing that down. Now, we have one more pronoun. Those who will believe in me through their word. Who's that? So I rewrote this using a little bit of literary license. I do not ask for the disciples only, but also for Paul, who will believe in me through their written testimonies. So who's Jesus praying for? Not me. Sorry about the rest of you. Yeah, he's praying for you. I think that is way too easy to just skim over. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me. So now I gotta know, what did he pray for me for? Did he pray for me that I'd have a safe trip to Arizona? Well, that's one of the things I'm praying for, right? Did he pray that I'd find an apartment? Did he pray that God would bless this food to my body? What did Jesus really pray for me for? Well, let's look at it. It starts off in verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. First thing he prays for is unity. Unity. That they may be one. And he does it a couple times in here. You know, that they may be one. And then he goes on in verse 23, that they may become perfectly one. Do we do this very well today? Ouch. I'm glad you guys said it and I didn't have to. We need to work on this. Why do you think Jesus prayed for it for us? Because it would come naturally to us? No. He knew it was going to be difficult for us. He knew we would need unity. Why is this important to him? Well, I'm getting ahead and behind, and I don't know where I am. My head's a mess today, guys. I'm sorry. That's why the PowerPoint's here. It's for me. It's not for you. We just talked about these verses. Just read them. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. This is huge, but God has always existed in perfect community. Trinity has always existed in perfect love. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always existed together in perfect love and unity. And they know how great that is. That's why they want to include us into that. God gives us the opportunity to be in community with him and with others. He invites us into this perfect community. Verse 26 says, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you've loved me may be in them and I in them. The love with which he loved Jesus can be in us. That's pretty cool. We can experience that love when we trust in Christ and we enter that perfect community. So why should we strive for this unity? One, because it's awesome. The love with which you've loved me may be in them and I in them. We can experience that, and that's incredible. And we can love each other in that way. That's incredible. The other reason is in verse 21 and verse 23, that the world may know. We should have sang, they will know we are Christians by our love. That's why I don't sing. You know the song. The song's based on Scripture. The world will know about God's love when we love one another. That's huge. Now, this is the part I really want to talk about. All that other part is great, but the part that really was huge for me was this verse, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. What is Jesus really praying in this verse? says that you may be with me where I am. For me, this was huge because I realized that Jesus is looking forward to hanging out with me. And there are times I struggle with that. Because a lot of times I don't feel like I'm worthy to be hung out with. But Jesus, even before I was born, prayed and said, man, I can't wait till he's here with me. And I'm making this very personal, leaving you guys out of it all. But I think he prays the same for you. Jesus is looking forward to hanging out with you for eternity. That's incredible to me. He knows you more than you know yourself, and he still can't wait till you get there to be with him. We look forward to being with friends and family. And sometimes we understand that they look forward to being with us as well, but the idea that Jesus is looking forward to you being with him, that was big for me to figure that out. Because I struggle a lot with how I view myself. I'm guessing you do too. Because we know ourselves. We know the places where we fail God. We feel more often like Peter when he's denying Christ than we feel like Peter when he's preaching about Christ. And Jesus is still saying, I'm looking forward to being with you. I think that should change how we view what he's set up for us to do. It should change the way we treat one another, the way we love one another. Should change the way we tell others about Christ. Way too often when we talk about God with other people, we're talking about how he's condemning what they're doing instead of saying Jesus wants to hang out with you for eternity. Changes the way we view evangelism. So, when you're faced with all those lies that the devil throws at you, and sometimes they're not lies, sometimes they're the truth. When we're faced with all those things, we have to remember how God views us. The love that he has for Jesus, he has for us. The community that he, in the unity he has, he wants us to be a part of that. And Jesus is looking forward to hanging out with us for eternity. Now remember those things. And that's really all I have for you this morning. It's a weird way to end. But thanks. Let's pray. God, thanks for one more chance to pray. Thank you that Jesus is looking forward to hanging out with us. Thank you that I get the backpack in the Grand Canyon. Help us to serve you well. In Jesus' name.